Now let's thank you for that. Let's have Psalm 91 again, just for emphasis sake, from King James or New King James. Okay, Fernando? King James or New King James, Psalm 91.
Amen. Psalm 91, verse 1?
Yes, and 2.
Okay, it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, this I declare about the Lord, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety.
Amen. Okay, that was New Living Translation. Thank you very much. Okay, let's have it from King James or New King James. Ready?
Happy is he whose resting place is in the secret of the Lord and under the shade of the wings of the Most High.
Amen.
Who says of the Lord, He is my safe place and my tower of strength.
Amen.
He is my God, in whom is my hope.
Amen. Thank you, Daddy. I think that's NIV. Okay. Let's have King James or New King James. Which one? Who has New King James? Okay. New King. Yes, Davina has New King James. So let's have King James, and then we have it from the New. Okay.
He that dwelleth in the secret place.
He that dwells where?
In the secret place.
In the secret place. That was the title of my message. The former title of my message was what? The secret place. But God changed it. It's the same message anyway. Yes, continue.
Of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Verse 2.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom will I trust.
Amen. Thank you. And finally, let's have it from New King James. So this is the fifth version today. It's the same. There's a slight difference. Go and read it. I know the difference. You will not find all the et there and the d. Go on.
He who dwells in the secret
place. He who dwells in the secret place. Yes. Go on.
Of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Are you following me? I know you've read it, you've quoted it, you've claimed it. But understand this word. He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow. Can you follow the condition? He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, of course, where we want to be is under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. But how to abide there is to where? To dwell in the secret place. So my question is this. What is the secret place of the Most High? I want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to be covered all the time. Divine what? Insurance. Look at the screen. Are you with me? I said I want to be covered by the Most High all the time. All the time. Just to live my life under the shadow of the Almighty. So I'm very much interested in how to do that. And in order to live continuously under the shadow of the Almighty, to be covered, to be insured all the time, I have to dwell in the secret place. So my question is, what is the secret place of the Most High? Now I give you, there are two answers. Okay, so who would like to go first? What is the secret place of the Most High? Yes? I don't need perfect answers. Just try something. Is that Tony? Is that your hand up? What is the secret place of the Most High? Say that again, please.
His presence.
His presence. God's presence. That is a correct answer. That's one of my answers. The secret place of the Most High is God's presence. Now let's prove that, and then we'll take the second answer. Open your Bible to Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Yes, we'd like to read that. Psalm 16, verse 11. Yes, Sister Agnes.
He makes You make me known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand.
Amen. Let's take that again from King James or New King James. Yes, Divina. Psalm 16, verse 11, please.
You will show me the path
of life. You will show me the path of life. Please try to follow this verse. You will show me the path. Path means the way, the pathway to life. Now, it explains what the pathway to life is. You will show me the path of life. What is the path of life? Read it. Continue.
In your presence.
In your presence. I know you may sit down there and, you know, maybe you worked hard all your life. And finally, you achieve all the things you want to achieve. I don't know what you're trying to achieve. You know, maybe you're training to become a midwife, like grandma was. He's afraid, are you a midwife or a staff nurse? Okay, in general. Amen? You are training to become a midwife. And you've worked very hard. And finally, you achieve it. You feel that, yes, now you are in life. Yeah? Maybe you've been laboring, struggling with your work or your business. And finally, you break through. And you say, yes, this is life. Yeah? C'est la vie, Pamela? C'est la vie.
Hi.
This is what? Life. You know, maybe, you know, you there's something you've wanted so much. You know, maybe you want a new car, a new house, and finally, it comes true. You feel like this is what? Life. You know, maybe you're living abroad, you know, and people from Africa ask you, say, you know, how are you doing? Well, we're not doing bad. You know, life is okay. You feel you have the life. Yeah? Well, the electricity is not taken. It's not interrupted. Yeah? I don't wash it my hands. I use washing machine. Yeah? I don't, you know, I don't drive on potholes. We're enjoying life. Yeah, are you with me? Yeah? Or maybe you worked that all week and then you want to reward yourself. You go to a pub, order a very nice meal, and top it off with a nice drink. I said, this is what? Life. Are you with me? That is one level of life. Are you with me? That's one level of what? Life. But there is a real life. Hallelujah. Like we're saying on fellowship on Friday, the Bible says, in him was life, John 1:4, and the life was the light of men. This man had life already. Yeah? But the life that comes from God or from Jesus is supernatural life that gives light to men. Men can have life, they are alive, but they are in darkness. They are alive, but they are dead. Are you with me? They are dead and they are in bondage to whatever is holding them bound. But there's a life of God called Zoe. Are you with me? Now, it's called eternal life. It's called the God kind of life. But I like to call it divine overcoming life. A life that cannot be overcome. I just defined that from chapter 1. Hallelujah. That life is the real life. It's called Zoe. And the Bible says that you will show me the path of life. Where is the path of life? In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Now, you know, when you say you are enjoying life, you're really talking about happiness. Am I right? And security. But let's call it happiness. Because if you are secure, you're happy. Isn't it? The natural man, all the natural man is seeking all the days of their life is what? It's happiness. That's what makes people sin. They're trying to have some fun. Hello? Church, are you with me? But there is a life that is above it and guarantees you fullness of joy, irrespective of where you find yourself, irrespective of where you are on your journey. You can have a fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that the old life we live on earth is like a drop in the ocean of eternity? Do you know? Your old life is a drop in the ocean of eternity. Let me tell you something more. Do you also know that your life is the opportunity God gives you to decide your eternity? Your life on earth is like when God made the world, he took a little chunk of eternity out. That's the world we live in now. Yeah? 1,000 years in your sight is like what? One day. Psalm 90. So, all the 6,000 years since Adam, by the way, if you don't know that, you need to check your Bible. If you calculate the years from Adam to now, it's about 6,000 years. If you calculate the time from Jesus Christ to now, it's about 2,000 years. All the 6,000 years from Adam to now is what? Just a drop in the ocean of eternity. But that's not where I'm going. What I'm trying to make you understand is that drop is God's gift to you. You know, it gives you 100 years and say, 100 years is yours. Are you with me? Or maybe 120. Anybody wants 120? You want 120? That's why you're still young, yeah? You still have a long way to go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That drop that God gives you out of eternity is your own opportunity to decide your eternity. Your eternity is in your hands. How you live on this earth is how you will be forever. You know, the difference between eternity and what we live is that now you can change. You can grow. Yeah? If you start a job on level 1, yeah? Or level, I don't know, anybody working in civil service, I don't know what level you start on. Level 8. Let me ask daddy. Level 8. And then you can move from level 8 to 9 to final level. You can rise to the top. Hallelujah. You can rise even to the very top. And I have a good example sitting in church today. You start from low level. I think my dad started even from a lower level. You know why? Because he had to work when he was studying. So he has to start with, you know, I don't know whatever he did. Hallelujah. But you can rise from a low level to the highest level. You can grow in this life. Hello? You can change in this life. Your condition is not permanent. You can change. You can grow. Whatever is a situation today can change forever and you will forget that you went through it. You can change so much that you will forget that you went through it. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. When you live in the UK for like 12 years, forget what it means for electricity to be taken away. And then you have to light the candle. Have you ever used the candle? When I was growing up, like, how old was I? 20 plus. I woke up, I was going to work, and there was no electricity, no light. So I woke up at 6. And then I had to get out of the house at 7. Okay? So the issue always is that you wake up, you struggle. Well, I don't know about you, but I struggled. So I set the alarm for maybe 5:30. And then I put on the candle. And then I snoozed. You know, I just snoozed. Unfortunately for me, the window was open and it was windy and rainy. And the wind blew the curtain into the candle. Hallelujah. But I thank the Holy Spirit. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's good to have the Holy Spirit. He woke me up and I saw the curtain burning. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, I quenched it. Yeah? I was still able to go to work. But I've forgotten all that. Yeah? You can forget what you're going through now when your situation changes. Hallelujah. You can grow. You can become something that you never thought you would be. Yeah? In this life, you can grow. But in eternity, when you cross the other side, there is no change. Forever and ever and ever, whatever state you have chosen in this life is what you will be forever. I've diverted from my message a little, but it's part of the message. Let me explain to you. I've met some Christians that said, you know what? All I just want to do in my life is to make heaven. If I can just scale through, okay? I'm not trying to be super spiritual. For me, if I can just make heaven, I'm okay. I don't want to be super spiritual. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Minimum with God. I love God. Anybody love God in the house? Yes, hallelujah. But all if I can just, Father, if I can just make heaven, I'm okay. I know I'm not the most spiritual person in the world. Now, let me tell you something. Let's assume God answers your prayer. Yeah? And all you did was just to make heaven. In heaven. It's like work. Yeah. You know there's work in heaven. I don't know if you know. There is work in heaven. Because when God made Adam, he put him into paradise. And he gave him work. Work is not a curse. Yeah? It's toil. Unfruitful labor. That's the curse. Are you with me? Even in heaven, we will be on earth. The real heaven is coming down to earth. If you read Revelation. The final destination of the saved man is paradise on earth. Hallelujah. So, if you just make heaven, you'll be on level one. And they're like, let's assume, 1,000 levels. You know, have you ever read about the New Jerusalem? Yeah? The dimensions. It has a length and a breadth and a height. Please check your Bible. Hallelujah. I know sometimes people interpret it as a cube. But it's not. I don't think it's a cube. It's a pyramid. Are you with me? You'll be on where? Level one. You know? So when somebody on level 10,000 needs somebody to, you know, clean the floor. Hey! I know you cannot imagine it. Anybody like to remain on level one forever in this world? Please. That's not your spiritual ambition. Don't have that type of ambition. And usually people who aim for level one may fall short. If you fall short of level one, where will you land? Zero. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we have said that the first answer to the secret place of the Most High is God's presence. Hallelujah. If you dwell in God's presence, you will abide under God's shadow. It's guaranteed. Now, there's a second answer for the secret place of the Most High. Yes, someone help me with that. If it was the other days, I would offer a price. What is the secret place of the Most High? Think. Yes, yes. There's always room for answers. That's why I ask the questions. And you know, the answers don't have to be right. What is? So we know this. Now, let me tell you, there's a clue in Psalm 16:11. Look at it. Yes, go on, Daddy.
If you are in the presence of God, you have to believe. I mean, believing in what you are doing is another solution.
Faith. Am I right? Faith, yes. That's a good answer. It's not the perfect answer, but it's a good answer because we are coming to it. Very important. And it's actually connected to the second answer. The secret place of the Most High, we said, is God's presence. But Psalm 16:11 gives you the clue of the second answer. Yes? Someone read Psalm 16:11 again. Davina, are you still there? Psalm 16:11. Yes, read. Please read. Go on.
You will show me the path of life.
You will show me the path of life. And this path of life is what?
In your presence.
In your presence, there is fullness of
joy.
What's the second answer? Yeah, read it. Continue.
Oh, at your right hand.
At where?
Right hand.
Wait, what do you have there?
Our pleasures forevermore.
Anybody like pleasure in the earth? The pleasures of this world cannot compare with the pleasures of heaven. The real deal. Don't expend your soul chasing the pleasures of this life because they pass away. They pass away ever so fast. You may even get fed up of them before the next day. Are you with me? But there is a place, there is a location where the pleasure is genuine and you can start experiencing it from this world. What is God's right hand? Anybody spiritual, worded up in the house? The right hand of God. Where is God's right hand? What is God's right hand? Yes, be bold. Okay, church, let's say it together. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 3. We're talking about the secret place of the Most High. The first answer is God's presence. To me, actually, that was my second answer. That was my second answer. The first answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is the secret place of the Most High. Colossians 3:3. Someone help me to read. Someone who has not read today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Colossians 3:3. Yes. Yes. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3.
For ye are dead. And
for who is dead?
Ye.
You are dead. Gone.
And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Your life. Someone read that from Amplified. Let's break it down. Amplified version, someone. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Yes. Amplified version. Right. Today, our goal is to unpack Psalm 91. We want to unpack it. God bless you. Psalm 91, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 from Amplified Version. Please read.
For you died to
you
this
died.
World.
Say that again.
For you died to this world.
You died to this world.
And your new real life.
Your new real life. No, we know that you have a life. We know that when you wake up, you breathe in and you breathe out. Yeah? You think that's your life. Yeah? Hello? You think that's your life. Just that you, you know, you breathe in, you breathe out, you eat in, and you eat out. Yeah? That's just the human life, which we've end at a certain time. The moment you come into this world, your death is certain. If you're alive, you will die one day. Are you with me? Yeah? If you came to this world, you will live one day. Are you with me? I'm not planning to die, by the way, I told you. I'm planning to be raptured with Jesus. Hallelujah. By the way, if you are planning to be raptured with Jesus, please make sure that nothing, you're not holding on to anything that will stop you from flying. Imagine Jesus came now. What will you tell him? Please, I have some investment in, I need to go and sort it out. Oh, please, Jesus, if I can, wait, let me just get married. If I get married, you can come. Are you with me? Oh, Jesus, wait. I want to say bye-bye to all my friends and my children. You see, if that's the situation you are, it's a wait. That thing that you are thinking about that Jesus must wait for is what you stop you from serving Jesus well. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It said you have died. That's, you have died. Though you are alive, but you have died to this world because you are in Christ. Your real life, the real one, yeah, where is it? Is hid. Where? With Christ. Where?
In God.
Divine insurance. I want to, did God open my eyes to that scripture? I understand that it's a double lock. It's a double secure lock. Hallelujah. Your life is hid with Christ. Level one security, yeah? Then you and Christ now, you are where now? Where are you now? Hid in God. Hallelujah. That's your life. That's your real life. But that only belongs to you when you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Coming to church will not make it happen. Hallelujah. You come to that point where you decide. You know that song that I have decided? Let's sing it. To follow Jesus. I have decided. To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turn. The day you get born again is the day you make that decision from your heart. Hallelujah. From that moment, your real life, where is it? Is hid with Christ. in God. That's why we sing this song. He said, Rock of Ages. Clap for me. Let's sing the first verse together. Rock of Ages. Clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself in. Let the water and the blood. Let the water and. From thy riven side which flowed. From thy riven side which. Be of sin the double cure. Sin the double cure. Cleanse me from the guilt and power. Me from his gift and power. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the rock that you can hide in. Hallelujah. Now, when you hide in Jesus, your real life, which is your spiritual life, is secure. Hallelujah. There's nothing the devil can throw at you or do to you. Your real life is secure. Hallelujah. You have a sure hope of salvation if you are in Christ Jesus. There is no other thing that is guaranteed or secure. If you are in Christ, Paul said, he said, for me to live is Christ. And even when I die, is what? It's gain. Now let me just chip this in before we move on. I want you to understand that your eternity is not in front of you. You know, like you may say, okay, how old are you? Don't answer me. Okay. Let's assume maybe you are 30 years old. 30. And I told you that, okay, you can live up to 100. Let's say, you know, people live up to 100, yeah? So you may think, okay, I'm 30 years old, and, you know, I'm this far in my journey to eternity. Where eternity is at the back. Yeah? We tend to think like that. That's why when they tell you, draw close to God and serve God, you say, don't worry, I'm still busy now. When I get old, when I've finished everything I want to do, I've built all the houses, I've had all my children, grandchildren, and when I've done everything, I will serve God better than you. Just wait for me. So you think that eternity is what? Ahead of you. Eternity is not ahead of you. Eternity is right beside you as you walk your journey. Hallelujah. You can step in any moment. Hallelujah. Please, I want you to get that. Eternity is right beside you from the day you were born. As you walk, it's there. At any moment, you can step in. And you do not, nobody in this room, including myself, knows the day when they will step in to eternity. Hallelujah. You don't know it. And you don't have any guarantee. Hallelujah. The only guarantee you have is the mercy and the goodness of God. By the way, eternity is not a bad thing. What is bad is where you don't prepare for your eternity. Are you with me? If you prepare for eternity, eternity is gain. Are you with me? It's gain because you are free from the toil and labor of life. But by the way, you will live long. I'm telling you, I say you will live long. But it's not your long life that matters. It's a life lived to the glory of God. Everything is given to us, Father. You know, I just want to live for 120 years. Then God say, son, now 120 years, what will you use it for? How will you use it? Will you use it to serve yourself and please yourself? Or will you use it to please the one who gave you? Hallelujah. That's why you're alive. You know, sometimes we need to reflect and think about the purpose of our life. Why am I alive? Why are there people in the world? Sometimes I think like this, you know. Have you ever, you know, gone on top of the, where can you go? London Bridge or whatever. And you just see the swamps of people going and coming. Or, you know, if you are in Nigeria, you know, go to Oshodi. And you see the swamps of people going and coming. I say, why are these so many? What's the hope? Why are people alive? Someone say, oh, you're alive because, you know, we come to the world so that we can have children and take care of our children. Huh? And you think that's the purpose of your life? Then those children too, we have children and what?
Take care of their children.
And then? And take care of their children. That's not the purpose of your life. Hallelujah. The purpose of your life is that God gave you an opportunity to love Him and to serve Him by free will. Hallelujah. Whatever you make of it stays with you forever. Now, if you have children, and by the way, the Bible says that children are what? A blessing from the Lord. Say, just say, children, listen, whether you have or not, it's a right confession. For those who have, you need to have that perspective. And for those who don't, you need to have that perspective. Children are what? A blessing from the Lord. Hallelujah. That means that if I have children, I should consider, no matter how naughty they are, I should consider them as what? A blessing. Once I have the right mindset, I am positioned to parent them well. Hallelujah. If I'm expecting children, I should not expect children just because, so that people can know that. Now I have to. No, you should consider it as what? A blessing. God is adding color to my life. Hallelujah. And when you're even expecting, you're already assuring God that this child that will come to my life, you yourself will see the difference it will make in your kingdom. Hallelujah. As I tell you, the worst thing you can do is not to train up your children in the way of the Lord. That's why I say, when you're coming to church, bring your children. Let me tell you something. If you're not praying, you're doing a big damage to your children because they are watching you. They are going to repeat what exit thing you did, and they may do it more. Hello? But by the mercy of God. Thank God. By the mercy of God. Okay, let me move faster. I'll finish by 12:30 today. I have been warned. John 15. We want to look at two things. So actually, open to John 15, and then I ask my question. And my question is this. John chapter 15, verse 4 to 8. Open to John 15, verse 4 to 8. John 15, verse 4 to 8. And my question is this. We have said that the secret place is Jesus Christ and also God's presence. So let's start with Jesus Christ. How can we abide in Christ according to John 15, verse 4 to 8? So again, okay, forget about the according to. How can we abide in Christ? I'll move faster, but let's read John 15, 4 to 8, and then I'll move fast on that. So I won't wait for your answer for this one. John 15, 4 to 8. Someone read. Yes, Mirabel? Why? Thank you. John 15, verse 4 to 8. Yes, go on.
Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire.
Into what?
The fire.
God forbid.
Continue.
Message. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Amen.
By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Amen. Let me start from the last verse. When you are bearing fruit, spiritual fruit, you are actually living as a true disciple of Jesus. When you are bearing spiritual fruit, you are living as a true follower of Jesus. If you are not bearing spiritual fruit, then you are not yet a true follower of Jesus. And the reason is because you are not abiding in Him. If you abide in Him, you will bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Why will you bear more fruit? Because you are tapping the life from the vine. You say the same life that is in the vine, the same life that is in the branch. Hallelujah. That means to me that anything that cannot overcome Jesus should not overcome me. Hello? Anything that cannot intimidate Jesus should not what? Intimidate. Why? Because it's the same life in the vine that is in the branch. All that I just need to do is remain connected. I know abide is an old word.
New Living says remain, but I would say remain connected. Hallelujah. So what are the key words of abiding in Christ? Nadia said the first word. Faith. Hallelujah. Faith. He said, if you shall believe in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. The Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Another verse says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, what will happen to you? You will be saved. Hallelujah. When you put your faith in Christ, you are abiding in Christ. Hallelujah. But a lot of people get that, but they don't get the second part. A lot of people today who have come to church, they just made a confession. Oh, yes, oh Lord Jesus, I invite you in my life, be my Lord and Savior. Once they finish that, they go out and go and commit immorality. Are you with me? They are not abiding in him. Yeah, I know they made the confession of faith. The reason is this. Faith without obedience is dead. Bible says in James 1 and James 2. It said faith without corresponding actions is what? Is dead. So the proof of a living faith is obedience. And when Jesus says abide in me, it means put your faith in me and obey me. Hallelujah. Obey me. When we put our faith in Jesus and we obey his instruction, we are abiding where? In him. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, without Jesus, I can do nothing. Now, I know you don't understand that. I know that without Jesus, you can still kick the ball. Without Jesus, you can still dress smartly. Without Jesus, you can still work hard. I know. But anything of eternal value, anything that we add to your eternity. So, let me explain this. You see, it's not everything we do in this life that we add to our eternity. In fact, actually, most of what we're doing in this life, we not necessarily add to our eternity. You may be very successful in life, acquire all the goods of this world, yeah? But that doesn't mean they will add to your eternity. You understand? The things that we add to your eternity are things of eternal value. Are you with me? There are things we do in this world that are just of temporary value. They excite you and make you feel good, but they're not going to add to your eternity. Hallelujah. But Jesus says to me, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Hallelujah. That then you cannot produce good fruit. And that fruit we add to your eternity. Amen. Anything, let me explain to you what we add to your eternity. Anything in your life that you do based on faith, hope, and love, we add to your eternity. Please turn to your neighbor. Tell them. Say anything that you do that is motivated by faith, hope, and love we had to your eternity. Any other thing that is motivated by any other motive, we not. You can do charitable work just to feel good or to say I can do it better, or you just have in mind let's just give back to society. But it's not motivated by faith and hope and love. It is a waste of time. Paul said, even if I give my body to be burned and I don't have this love of God, I'm not motivated by love in doing it, it's a waste. Are you with me? Hallelujah. We abide in Christ through faith and obedience. So now we go to Psalm 91. I finished all the preambles. Let's look at Psalm 91 now. Based on the next question. How can we abide in God's presence? How can we abide in God's presence? So, just recap. We can abide in Christ through faith and obedience. How can we abide in God's presence? Because we know that the secret presence of the Most High is Christ. And it's also God's presence. And they are not contradicting. Hallelujah. How can we abide in God's presence? Yes, I need so many answers. How can we abide in God's presence? bliss. Before we answer, let's just to divert your mind back. This answer is not from Psalm 91. So every answer you give me, you know, think about Psalm 91. And then you can give your answer. Whatever answer you want to give. But I've moved from John 15 now. I'm now in Psalm 91, which is where we end this sermon. Psalm 91. I'll read it again, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. How can we abide in God's presence? Okay, I'll give you the first answer. I said it last week. Fellowship. What? Fellowship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fellowship. Hallelujah. To abide in God's presence, you need to move closer to God's presence. Now, you know that God is present everywhere. Yeah? Yeah? God is present everywhere. And yet, we have natural disasters. We have terrorists killing people. We have, sickness and disease. The world is in a mess. And yet, God is present everywhere. Which type of God is that? Have you ever thought like that? Or did someone ask you that question? God does not reign in every life. Hello? God does not reign in every life. God reigns only in the life of those who permit Him to. Are you with me? But there's a time coming that God will reign all over the earth. But for now, He's not reigning all over the earth. The time is coming, but it's not yet. That's why the Bible says that the creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. The creation has been subjected to bondage. That's why the world is broken. Hallelujah. But you don't have to be broken. Say to yourself, say the word. It's broken. I refuse to be broken because I have Jesus, the master fixer. Hallelujah. That's very reassuring. So we abide in God's presence through fellowship. We spend time with God on a personal basis. You see what I mean? Take a stock of how your day runs every day. Do you make out time to spend with God? Just you and your God. I'm not talking about you and your wife and God. That's devotional. I'm not talking about you and your husband and you and God. Amen? That's how you get into His presence. Because although His presence is all over, you get in by focusing personally on Him. Hallelujah. Let's ask some other answers. How can we abide in God's presence? Any answer? Yes. Where's my mic? Who has the mic? Yeah. All right. How can we abide in God's presence?
Communing with Him in the place of prayer.
By communing in the place of what? Prayer. Prayer is a major key. You know, it's like my sister was asking me the other day. Sorry, sister. I know you know yourself. He said, do you do night vigils in the church? You know? I said, not yet. But we will when we get to that point. I said, but why don't we do night vigils? Because the prayer meetings we do twice a month, people are not coming. Hello? You see, some people prefer to stay far away from God. Then when they're in trouble, they will do 3 days prayer and fasting. And God is merciful. You understand? God is merciful. He will still answer you according to His mercy. Hello? But I want to tell you something about mercy. Mercy is God's prerogative. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You can't claim it. You can claim grace, but you can't claim mercy. But let me tell you something about grace. Grace is available to everybody. The believer and the unbeliever. I say, God loves me. Don't you know? Oh, God loves me so much. Yes, and He loves the murderer too. Hallelujah. That's grace. You don't deserve it. It's God's free gift. Hallelujah. But one time, grace is that you will not experience grace until you receive it. Hallelujah. Grace is available, but you got to what? Receive it. You got to receive it. You got to tap in. And how do you receive grace? Faith and obedience. Hallelujah. But where prayer comes in is that prayer, you know, helps you to practice God's presence. Just you and God. Hallelujah. He's your lover. He wants to hear your voice. I'm not talking of your voice and your sister's voice. Your voice alone. He wants you to hear him say, Father God. Hallelujah. Prayer is a very important part of being in God's presence. And you know one thing about prayer? Just like the food. Have you ever wondered why you have to eat every day? I don't know if you're like, I think about this.